بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Continuing with the first lesson, that دوسری بات یہ بھی حقیقت ہے کہ ظاہر کا اثر باطن پر اور باطن کا اثر ظاہر پر پڑتا ہے. The other thing that we should keep in mind in the second lesson is that the outward has an effect on the inward and the inward has an effect on the outward. Therefore we mentioned that makes dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a level of concentration and devotion via the barakat of dhikr, and that will have an immediate effect on your salat itself. And then your salat also will have effect on many other things. Like the Quran al-Kareem testifies to this fact, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That salat will prevent you from all evil and lewd activities. اگر قلبی خشوع اور ذکر والا تھوڑا توجہ سے ظاہری مستحبات کو ادا کرے گا تو اس کا اثر باطن کے خشوع کو بھی بڑھا دے گا. If a person that has some level of concentration of the heart through the barakat of ذکر, then inshallah if he engages in just a mustahab act of salah, that mustahab act of salah will have an effect on his outward life also. And then he gives an example to explain this. مثال کے طور پر بوقت قیام سجدہ کی جگہ پر نظر رکھنا. At the time of standing up in قیام, in the standing position, to look at the place of سجدہ. رکوع کے وقت قدموں پر. At the time of رکوع to look at the feet. اور سجدے کے وقت ناک کے نوک پر. At the time of سجدہ to look at the tip of the nose. تو نظر کے انتشار سے محفوظ ہو جائے گا. Then he will be saved from looking around. So one is that by the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create a certain extent of concentration and devotion and hudur, a qalb, presence of heart, and then fulfill even a mustahab act of salat, and then see that mustahab act of salat will have an effect on your outside life also, that outside salat you will be able to look after your gaze. And then Hazrat gave an example. He mentioned that once he gave a bayan here, a nikah bayan, and explaining in the nikah bayan that if a person looks after his gaze in salat, inshallah he will get the ability of looking after his gaze outside salat. So after some time a person came and told him that my condition was such that I got married, but after getting married I still could not look after my gaze. So I thought the solution to that marriage, to that, is a second marriage. Many times we also think like that, that the marriage, the solution to your problems is another marriage. But that doesn't solve your problem, because you haven't got hudur e qalb. By having a second marriage also will not solve your problem. So he said, I got married a second time, but that didn't solve my problem. I was still looking around. Then when I heard your bayan, he told us, then I started looking after my gaze. Now alhamdulillah, I've got no inclination to get married a third time. Because the third time wouldn't solve the problem either. Because you haven't affected your heart. Because inside is not pure. So whether you have two wives, three wives, even the fourth wife, which is a maximum, then you'll still be looking outward. So that is the effect of one mustahab. So can you imagine what is the effect of a sunnat? What is an effect of a wajib? What is an effect of a farz? We don't realize that through the barakat of our salat, how many sins we stay away from. Our mind doesn't even go towards that. There are so many things that our heart inclines ourselves towards, and we have thoughts, but we stop ourselves. That is the barakat of salat. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Aur namaz hudur qalb ke sath muyassar ho jayegi. And the other is that a person will have, if will get the advantage of reading salat with presence of heart. جب یہ اتنا بڑا فائدہ مستحبات کی ادائیگی میں ہے تو سنن واجبات و فرائض کو دھیان سے ادا کرنے کی اہمیت ظاہر ہے. When there is such a massive benefit, that means just for fulfilling a mustahab of salat, it will look after your gaze, And looking after your gaze, really, we only put ourselves in difficulty. There's nothing else. We get a few seconds of enjoyment. There afterwards, then there is regret within us. For example, one person came to Maulana Shafi Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi and told us that if a beautiful woman walked past me and there is a deep desire within to see, probably she is the most beautiful woman on earth, I might miss out the opportunity. So Hazrat asked him a question, okay, tell me, from a logical perspective. If you look at her, then what happens? Also, in the case where you don't look at her, what happens? You say, for 2-3 hours and I have this regret that I should have looked at her. So Hazrat asked him, okay, fine, that is if you don't look at her. So your mind plays, I should have. And if you do, then he says, for 3 days then I'm restless. So he said, you deduce yourself, remain restless for 3 hours or for 3 days. Because then your food becomes her, your sleep becomes her, but your wife is still there. She's not going anywhere. So you got one woman in your life, and you're thinking of another woman, and instead of creating ease, I could have got her, and it's not going to make any difference. Hazrat explains this point, he says, that looking at, there was this marriage took place in India, and it was a Sikh couple that got married. And obviously they have all their fancy dressing and all that, and full of, especially India, the extras that they have with the clothing, etc. But they had to travel by train. So the couple had to travel back to the village by train. So it so happened, and in the train the compartments are facing each other opposite. So the husband and wife are sitting newlywed. Obviously you can imagine, they're only looking at each other, etc., holding. And there was a Sikh ji that was sitting opposite, and he's just gaping with his mouth open at this woman. This person getting irritated, but he can't say anything. It's his wife. Somebody else is looking at his wife, but how can you tell somebody don't look? But the person is looking opposite, so there's a direction he has to look, but the way he's looking with his mouth open. So station after station is going past, and this person is getting more irritated and more irritated. So eventually the couple got up to get out, and he told the man, the husband told the Sikh, that see how much you want and gape how much you want, but by the end tonight I'm going to sleep with her. So it didn't help you in any form. So in the same way, by we looking, etc., that woman is gone, we can fantasize, the harm is to us, there is an unease, we don't appreciate the wife at home. As it also mentions always, that when our eyes are outside, then we don't appreciate what we have got inside. The time when we stop looking outside, then we'll appreciate the wife inside. Then you will see her beauty. But we can't see her beauty simply because our eyes are everywhere else. So جب یہ اتنا بڑا فائدہ مصحبات کی ادائیگی میں ہے تو سنن واجبات و فرائض کو جان سے ادا کرنے کی اہمیت ظاہر ہے. چنانچہ اس میں کوتاہی کرنے سے نماز کا کمال تو کیا, کبھی نماز بالکل ہی ادا نہیں ہوتی. By being negligent in this regard of not looking after one's eyes as well as the remaining mustahabat, sunnah, etc., forget reaching perfection in salat, at times the salat is not even accepted. Aur kabhi naqis reh jati hai, at times it is incomplete. Aur salat munafiq kehlati hai, and it is a salat of a munafiq. Wa idha qamu ila salat qamu kusala. That is a sign Allah Ta'ala mentioned of a munafiq. When he stands in salat in a total lazy, uninterested manner, he stands up. يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ to show the people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. He makes very little dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جس کے متعلق وعیدیں آئی ہیں, and admonitions have come in ahadith pertaining to such salat, کہ وہ غفلت والی نماز نمازی کے لئے بدعا کرتی ہے. A salat of negligence makes بدعا on a person. You thinking you are fulfilling Allah's command. On the other hand, the same salat is making بدعا towards you. Can you imagine how many salat of ours? And many times you wonder that why these things are happening to me. It is the baddua that we have brought upon ourselves through negligence in salah. And our mind will go to something always. Unfortunately, somebody is making jadu on us. Like we are the most wonderful thing after sliced bread or something. That everybody has got nazar on us. And our nafs also feels like that. So you don't take tawajjuh towards or pay attention towards your salat. That it's my salat that has brought me to this condition. Because I'm not concentrating, my salat has become a wabal upon me. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Destruction be for those that perform salat, who perform salat in a negligent and unmindful manner. So destruction for them. اور پرانے کپڑے کی طرح لپیٹ کر منہ پر مار دی جاتی ہے. اینڈ دا ویری سیم سلاد وچ یو تھاٹ از اے سورس آف بلیسنگ از تھرون بیک اینڈ فلنگ آن ٹو یور فیس لائک ان اے ڈرٹی ریگ کلاتھ. اور اگر کوئی فرائض سنن واجبات کی تو پرواہ نہ کرے اور اللہ تعالی کی حضوری ہی میں مستغرق رہے, چاہے اس دوران اس کو کوئی وسوسہ بھی نہ آئے, تو وہ نماز کے حکم کو پورا کرنے والا نہیں کہلائے گا. On the other hand, if a person has total presence of heart, he is absorbed, he is oblivious of his surroundings, but he does not pay attention to the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabat, he does it very, very negligently. And that's also a point that we should all concentrate on, that our own salah. Many times, mashallah, sometimes we teach salah to our students in the madaris, etc. That's the time we make sure the postures are correct. But very, very seldom do we ever check our own salah. When we start teaching in the maktab, for example, or even teaching at a higher level, teaching his students how to perform salah, he's so conscious that he'll see every student's foot, whether the right foot is up in qada position, etc., and completely 90 degrees. If he had he could actually measure the 90 degrees, and he will check all that. But it's amazing, our own salah, there is no tawajjuh towards it at all. There's total negligence. And many of us, as I says, that we come into the Khanqah for year after year after year. As I mentioned it a few times, for example, in the sajda position, close your fingers, this is one mustahab act in salah, from the adab of salah, and make it straight towards the Qibla. You'll say, till now you'll find that the ulama also are involved in that, the general masses also, there will be total negligence in this regard. And loosely they will put their fingers. It will not even face towards the Qibla. It will face towards the head, maybe to indicate that they've got something up there. But really it's supposed to face towards the Qibla. And then it's not good to look at people's salat to take out faults. But till now, if you observe salat, you will find that many people of knowledge whose salat is the posture are totally incorrect. Therefore, on the last day before Eid, we generally do the postures of salat, so that this can be not only that for that time that we correct it, but to be particular about it. And one other point, as I have mentioned at this point, that even the mashayikh salat. Remember, one is sunnah, one is, for example, the sheikh salat. So we observe the sheikh salat. We should not deduce from the sheikh salat that this is the sunnah. For example, a person has AIDS and for some other reason he's sitting and performing the fard salah. Now that doesn't mean that you start performing the fard salah. You're only 23 and 27, you've got vigor, vitality and strength in you. Now you're sitting and performing salah and you say the sheikh is performing the fard salah. Or you see the sheikh sitting position and probably his right foot is not straight up. And so now you basically make amal on that. As it says that sunnat is the most important. If for instance you can't understand and you find a difference between the sheikh's action and the sunnah, then in privacy ask him, probably there will be a reason, maybe there is a problem with the foot, maybe it cannot bend, the reason for sitting and performing salat and reading nafal salat is for different other reasons. Otherwise let's not make, so sunnah is the barometer, that is the mirror, that is the yardstick, and make amal upon that. Many times we make amal on what the sheikh is doing without understanding there is another reason for it. For example, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to put on the ihram for Hajj in Madinah al-Munawwara, what is ihram? He would make ziyarat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and go. Whereas you look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put on his ihram in Dhul Halifa and then he proceeded. Asal sunnat is that. So now if a person sees the sentiments of the Shaykh and makes this the sunnat, and say that sunnat is to make because I seen my sheikh, but probably Hazrat you are put on his ihram because he was in a wheelchair and he was crippled to an extent, his eyesight had become very, very weak, to stop and for example at the masjid and get off and take a ghusl etc. would be very, very difficult in his condition, and then it would cause difficulty to the people with him etc. because of his age, advanced age, because of his weak eyesight, because of becoming crippled. So ask. And unfortunately, we will take that amal as the sunnah. So, if we find something contrary to the sunnah that the sheikh is engaged in, then in a private manner, privately, ask him, and probably he will explain to you because he has difficulty in his foot, etc. So it is very, very important we understand this. There are times a person can have total absorption in salah, oblivious of these surroundings. But at the same time, he's not fulfilling the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat, muqaddar. That is not a salah of concentration either. بلکہ شاید ایسی نماز پڑھنے والا زیادہ گنہگار ہوگا. Perhaps that person will be more sinful, that Allah had given him that gift of absorption in salah, and he has misused that gift by not concentrating on the faraiz, wajibat, sunnat, mustahabbat. The second lesson, sabak dom, which has got primary three things in the second lesson: niyat, takbir and tahreema, and qiyam. To make niyat, which is fard, and the utterance, to make niyat, niyat, Hazrat explains, is fi'lul qalb. It is the action of the heart, and it should be confined to the heart. Yes, just for the purpose of concentration, or initially when learning, a person verbally articulate the niyat, etc., and he verbalizes the niyat, there is no harm. But then it's just for a certain stage. Preferable that a person makes niyat only with the heart. There also is a difference of opinion. Some ulama and mashayikh have mentioned that it is from the adab and mustahabbat of salat to verbally articulate the salat. Mujaddid Millat Malashari Thani Rahmatullah Ali has said that according to his opinion, that to continuously say the niyat with the mouth is makruh. Because it is a fail of the heart. Yes, initially while a person is learning, like how when we learn, till now, surprising that you might have learned it in Urdu, although we speak English, but we still say the niyat in Urdu. Ya Allah, main char rakat faraz namaz par raha ho, qibla mutawajjih hokar, aap hi ke liye, imam ke piche, and you start your salat. But it shouldn't be that now we verbally articulating it and our mind is not even there. Because now it has become a ritual, because we learned it in a maktab like that. So the main thing is of the heart. Niyat, Hazrat explains, is fi'lul qalb, the action of the heart. Takbir-e-tahreema in salat is fard. That means the reading and saying Allahu Akbar is fard. The lifting of the hands is sunnat. Qiyam is fard in salat. So the first point, baad uske muh taraf Kaaba ke khara hokar kare. So first and foremost, you should face towards the Kaaba, the Qibla. So what is the benefit of it? Fayda, sirah usme ye hai, ke Kaaba naaf zameen hai. That the Kaaba is the navel of the earth. And we understand this from the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That first there was only water, then Allah ta'ala made a bubble, and from that bubble the earth protruded and surfaced, and then basically spread from there, and then eventually the earth spread from that particular point. So even today, modern science has proven that Kaaba from every direction is the center of the earth. Therefore, even the time calculation supposed to be time calculation from the Kaaba. Unfortunately, they do not take it that way. Although there is a group of people pressing in the United Nations presently that the time should be calculated from Makkah's time. That the world's time should be calculated, because that in every regard, even scientifically, it is the center of the earth. But unfortunately, they wouldn't take GMT as to be that. And they would utilize their own way, because that would give prominence to Baytullah and Kaaba. But in every regard, it is the center of the earth. Time supposed to be calculated from there, whether going towards the north, whether it's going to the south from there, whether minus hours, 1 hour this way, or plus 1 hour that way. So it is the center of the earth. So one is sirah usme ye ke Kaaba naafi zameen hai. This is the navel of the earth. Therefore, even in the ignorant times, people used to take the navel, which if you do the fiqh kitabs also, which ulama have written is makruh and not permissible, they would take the navel and place it on the in the Kaaba in the center, to place the navel on the navel of the Kaaba, or so to say the navel of the earth. Aur namaz zameen usi se pehla, aur tamam zameen usi se phailai gayi hai, and the entire earth has spread from that particular point. Aur paidaish jism aadmi ke khaak se hai. So one is that the earth is from sand, and that is the first point that has protruded, that is the sand that has come. And insan has been created from sand. So in other words, we are facing what we are made of to its origin, the first piece of land, the first piece of sand. Jab zahir jism apne ko taraf uske asal ki mutawajji kiya, then the outward we have faced it towards its asal, to its original. That means that first earth that had come and protruded. And we know from the ahadith in Mubarakah that once the land has come on top, then it was wobbling. And we can understand it is solid. The water is below, it is liquid. It is a solid that is on liquid, it will not have any balance. Then the beautiful hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَخَلَقَ الْجِبَالِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mounts, أَنْ تَمِيدَ بِهَا, that it remains steadfast on this earth. فاستقر. It kept the earth steadfast. Allah Ta'ala gave the instruction, فَعَلَيْهَا بِهَا, that remained steadfast on this earth. Malaika were totally astonished. Ya Allah, what a makhluk of yours. That the earth was completely wobbling, and you created these mountains as pegs. They asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, have you created any creation that is stronger than mountains, that is stronger than this earth? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, yes, I have created iron. If you look at iron, it soars through mountains, it carves mountains. Today we understand it even better. We create tunnels through this machinery, through mountains, etc. So Malaika will explain, that asked Allah Ta'ala with astonishment, have you created anything stronger than this iron and steel? Allah Ta'ala said, yes, I have created. So then Malaika asked, what is that? So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said, fire. Through fire we can melt this iron, form it in every shape you want. Today we see it. In tractors are formed through iron, etc., through melting. And what we create through iron and steel. So I asked Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, have you created anything stronger than water? Allah Ta'ala, other than fire, Allah Ta'ala says, water. It extinguishes water. Then Allah Ta'ala, they asked Allah, have you created anything stronger than water? Allah Ta'ala said, the winds. We look, thousands of tons of water in the clouds. Allah Ta'ala brings the wind, and we find it clear. At times it is clear, and we find Allah Ta'ala brings through the winds, the clouds, and tons of water. Then they ask Allah, is there anything stronger and superior than the wind? Allah Ta'ala says, yes, Banu Adam, when he gives charity with his right hand and his left hand is unaware of it. So we haven't understood the effect of our amal. The effect of our amal, every amal is superior than the remaining creation. Therefore Hafiz Ibn Ajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned that a person that comes onto deen, he becomes a wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, his status in the sight of Allah is more superior than the general malaika also. And then he gives the explanation that insan has taqaza, they have needs which malaika don't have. They remain constant on ibadah, they have no desire of or evil inclination whatsoever. This insan has desire of evil, and he has evil inclinations. At the same time, he has worldly needs to look after his children, etc. And despite that, he takes his time out. Therefore, from this hadith, we understand that man's amal, one amal, is more superior than the remaining creation of Allah Ta'ala. So we take it for granted, we engage in ibadat. For example, we say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Allah, immediately with that yaqeen, that the tree has been planted in Jannah. And what is superior tree? So we have to face the outward, that is the body, towards its original, that is the Kaaba, because that's the first land that has come, sand towards sand. Then at the same time we should understand, yani ruh ku taraf uski asar. And then also to face the soul towards its asar. So one is the outward to face towards the Kaaba, but the soul has to face towards its asar. And what is the asar of the soul, the ruh, which comes in the Quran Kareem, yas'alunaka anil ruh. They ask you regarding the soul. So Allah says, O Nabiji, tell them, huwa min amri rabbi. It is from the command of Allah. That means the asal is from Allah. So the soul should turn towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, towards its asal. Like how insan's body is facing towards its asal, from where it has come, from that land, in the same way the soul should face towards. So the Qibla of the soul, so to say, is not the Kaaba. The Qibla of the soul is Allah's Zat. The Dhyan towards Allah, Hudur Kalb. And we told you this can be done very easily, that simply think that Allah is watching you, and that you have placed yourself in front of Allah. If a person just put this, that would be sufficient inshallah, that the heart will be facing towards its asal, that is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ke ruh ki taraf uski asal, yani haq ta'ala jo paida karne wala uska hai. Mutawajjih kya chahi? That a person should face towards his original, that is Allah Ta'ala's Zat. اور ہمیشہ اوقات پانچ نماز بلا شبہ وقت دربار حضور کا جان کر حاجت اپنی عرض کرے. And this, it is just like a ritual to complete the five times salah that comes. Without doubt, it is an occasion to present oneself in front of Allah and to fulfill one's need through salah. We say it, but have we got yakin on this? That through salah I should fulfill my need. They are through salat. And this was the condition of Sahaba all the time. Any problem, they would go to salat. As I say, our condition is completely different. It's not the first resort, it's unfortunately the last resort. For example, if a person finds a growth, as it explains, in his mouth, and he thought he'll go to his GP. So he goes to the GP and he asks him, so he looks at it and he touches it, fine, he gives him an antibiotic or something. And after a while, he comes back, it has no effect on the growth in his mouth. So then the GP says, I think you need to take x-rays, etc. And we'll have to do some other tests, some blood tests, he'll give you 1, 2, 3 blood tests, etc. So when he gets the blood test, he looks at it, it's not very, very good. So he tells him, I feel that you should go to a specialist, and he recommends him to go to a specialist. So they go to the specialist, and with the blood test the GP has given, and he looks at it, and after a while he administers some medication, it doesn't work. So he tells him that unfortunately the cancer has advanced. So then, and we can't do much about it, unfortunately. So now they're walking down the hospital steps, as it says. Then the father tells the son, now you have to turn towards Allah. You have to read the Falsarat. Unfortunately, that is what we have done. We have, so to say, demoted Allah Ta'ala to the last stage. Where that was supposed to have been our first response. And even at home, let's teach our children from small. For example, we've got a medicine cabinet there, whether it's in the bathroom, whether in whatever place. So immediately when there's a headache, we have brought it up in the child. There's a headache, immediately his thought goes towards medication, panadol. So we say medication is sunnah. Medication is sunnah, we accept. But how many other things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam engaged in? Reading of Surah Fatiha 7 times, to read the various du'as for pain, etc. That we do not teach. So even if you have a medicine cabinet, there's no harm in it. But my one suggestion is, write all the du'as on it first. That even before the child opens it, let's call it a spiritual medical kit first. Even you draw an ambulance, they draw an ambulance, fine. You can put a green crescent or red crescent sign. And write the du'as there. That even it makes the child, don't open the medicine cabinet till you haven't read your du'as. Don't even partake of the medication till you haven't read your du'as. So his aqaid remains sahih. We don't realize what we have done to the child. Subconsciously, and we are unconsciously, without even thinking about it, and what has remained in the child. Yaqeen is in medication. There is nobody is advising that don't take medication, but at the same time, the sequence is very, very important. So salat, every time you come for salat, think of it as an occasion of taking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ab bayan namaz ka aur maana alfaz ki mithal par samjhe. Now understand salat itself and the meanings of the words that are uttered in salat. Matlab, jis waqt koi banda kast munajat aur ard hajat ka dil mein mukarrar karke hadir darbar khas ka ho. So one is salat is an opportunity of secret whispers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the whole salat is like this. When there is proximity, then those whispers are there. It's just natural. For example, at times it's only you and the wife in the whole house. Children are gone. But then she's right next to you, and there is nobody else that can hear the conversation, but you still whisper to her. But you don't get close to her without the whispers first. But it won't even sound nice in a rough voice you speak to her at that particular time when you have to fulfill your need, for example. So in the same way with salat, understanding it's a romantic experience with Allah. But this romance, Allah Hazrat explains, is free from lust. Our romance, we only praise the wife when we need something. Afterwards, finish, mashallah. Whole day we don't say anything, how beautiful she is and how stunning she is, nothing. When there is a need at night, mashallah, then the tone changes, you know, whispering sound, then the sweet poetry that we have learned from the back of some books from cards, or we taken down from the internet and then we make it sound like it's our original poetry that we have formulated in the shop while we are thinking about her. Then the tone changes everything. In salat also, qasd-e munajat, this is the time of the sweet whispers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to speak in that manner. And one is qasd-e munajat. Ard-e hajat, it is an occasion of putting one's needs in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or nihayat ta'adim, with utmost respect. Or aqidah idrus, and with proper aqidah. This is very, very important. Therefore, it is imperative also that we read continuously a book on aqaid. Many times we think our aqaid is sahih. As it says, he knew one person, mashallah, that has been doing the work of deen for such a long time, and sacrificing and going in Allah's path for a long, long period of time. So one day he had an opportunity to speak to Hazrat, and in the discussion, He expressed was that his thought of who Allah is. And in that he mentioned that in his thought there is Allah of good and there is Allah of shar. Imagine he's doing the work of deen for so many years. But he, like, good is from one Allah, bad is from another Allah. So he is equated to an extent shaitan, for instance, because we know that the inspirations and the whispers of evil is from shaitan. But the reality is all good and evil comes eventually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also we understand, which we have learned in our kalima. La ilaha illallah, the fourth kalima. وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير بيده الخير. Look at Hazrat explains, Subhanallah, adab we are talking about. As Hakim Sahib explains from the fourth kalima, he says the fourth kalima teaches adab. Fourth kalima teaches adab. بيده الخير, that all good is in Allah's hands. In the same way, all shar is also in Allah's hands. But the kalima doesn't teach you that بيده الخير والشر. When it comes to shar, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِرٍ, that adab is that do not attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although yaqeen is that it is from Allah ta'ala's side. Like your father is your mother's wife. Your mother is your father's wife, but you don't address her as such. Adab. There's a reality, nobody can deny that. You are a product of their meeting. You can't deny that. But do you ever express that? That I am the product of your meeting, of your enjoyment. You don't say that. It's khilafiyah. In the same way, بيدي الخير, that all good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as far as evil, وهو على كل شيء قدير. Allah ta'ala has power over everything. And even this kalima, subhanallah, Allah give jazai khair to our mashayikh, etc. That they have taught us the seven kalimas. Truly, we have to learn the meaning and refresh our iman every day through it. Don't make it a ritual. You know, we say we teach our children to read the kalimas before you sleep. Somebody might ask you the question, where's dalil? Where's the proof that you must teach kalimas before you sleep? The idea is not it's about refreshing the iman. Now the one step further is teaching the meaning of the kalima. To make these verbal utterances, at the same time bring yaqeen on these verbal utterances. And you can refresh your iman every day just by reading the seven kalimas every day. And the mazmoon of it is so deep. And yaqeen on Allah's zaat, tawakkul on Allah's zaat, i'tiqad on Allah's zaat will increase with reading this kalima with meaning. So very, very important, Aqidah Durust. So as it mentions that an authentic kitab, which I make mashara with the ulama-i-kiram, to read a book on Aqidah, it is very, very important. Otherwise, many times, we think we are doing correct. As I explained another incident, that a person was, that's not regarding Aqidah, but Amal. For how many years he's been making masa on his leather socks at the bottom, but he uses logic. And mashallah, he's doing the work of deen. Not thinking that this is contrary to sunnah, or according to the Hanafi method, it should be only made on the top. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah's maslak in this regard is, there is makruh to make a masa at the bottom of the feet. Although some mashayikh have given permission for top or the bottom. But he used to make only at the bottom. Not even realizing that where should you make masa on the leather socks. So these things is very, very important in the pathway of suluk. Aqidah durus. Or niyat khalis. And niyat should be specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Is bacha alija ke khara hokar rukh iltifat ka aur taraf se hata kar kahe Allahu Akbar. Now this is the way a person should make takbir. One is that he should check that what absolute etiquette he comes to the masjid. Not rushing and just makes, get composed for a while. Compose yourself. Then what absolute a great respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the kafir of the heart. What extreme awe. Allah has given me this opportunity. What a beautiful opportunity to make munajat, to speak to Him, secret whispers, to mention my greatest need, ihdina siratul mustaqim, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, with aqidah idrus, with proper aqidah, with total sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And turn your attention away from everything. Like we mentioned, one way, one muraqabah a person can make is as if he's saying, Allahu Akbar, I give up all my intentions, all my desires I have left behind. I have surrendered totally in front of Allah. I have surrendered everything. I have yielded now to you. I have turned my attention completely towards you. This is the significance of the takbir at-tahrima and the lifting of the hands. And the other way, Mashayikh have mentioned, that with this thought, we do it. We lift our hands. But do we ever think about it that I'm leaving both dunya and akhirah? Now it is only my Allah, my creator, my malik, my sustainer, my nourisher, my cherisher, my beloved, my aspiration, who I'm turning towards. If a person makes takbir tahrima and with the depth and the bottom of his heart he says, Allahu Akbar, Wallah, you are the greatest. You are greater than any other creation. You are greater than north, the south, the west, the east, whatever is in it. Greater than any direction in anything, in every form. And we see, greatness also generally is in force. In every aspect, there's long discussions which Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has also mentioned, but understanding, therefore, even in Adhan, we say the Allahu Akbar 4 times to show that whatever is of greatness and prominence which is in force, Allah Ta'ala is greater than that. Malaika in 4. If you look at kitabs that Allah Ta'ala has revealed, Allah the famous are the 4 famous. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam also 4. In mountains are also in force. Rivers are also in force. Things of prominence are in force. Allah is greater than all that. And you say that with the depth of your heart, Allahu Akbar. Allah bahut bara hai. Allah sabse bara hai. Allah is the greatest of all. And in that, first and foremost, yourself. That's what we forget. As it says, we negate everything else besides ourselves. We negate the wife, we negate the shop, we negate the car, we negate the job. But we haven't negated ourselves yet. And that's where tasawwuf starts, when you annihilate yourself, first and foremost. So this salat is an annihilation of oneself. The Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, and bring it in your heart. Far greater than my thought, my imagination, my planning, my organization, my systems, what I think is proper, etc. Allah is greater than all of that. So then a person will get humility in salah. Allah bahut bara hai. Faida. To usi waqt badshah Ali Jah apne bande ke qasd aur irada par muttali hokar inayat khas marhamat farmata hai. At that particular time when a person says Allahu Akbar, but does also have this thought. Let it not be an empty Allahu Akbar. That my Allah's attention is undivided 100% towards me now. And how is it possible when Allah has turned his attention towards me, my attention goes to somebody else. Goes to something else. How can I? My ghairah does not allow that when my Allah's attention is towards me, I turn my attention towards something else. And worse is when a person intentionally does it. Yes, if a thought comes, that's a different question we'll discuss in the front. But purposefully, intentionally, I cannot turn my attention. And as it says, Allah's mercy in torrents. Forget the Niagara Falls or the Victoria Falls. More than that is Allah's mercy at this particular time. If a person just turns towards that, he will feel that coolness. And then you will feel all your problems have been removed from your mind. As it mentioned about his own incident, that he was going to Mana Ghulamullah Sahib in Rawalpindi, who has tasfir every year in Pakistan when he was studying in Deoband. And it so happened it was Qaeda Adam Day, the 24th of December. And he needed a road permit. Unfortunately, when he reached, it was after 5 or so that he could not get a road permit. So now he's in a total predicament. One is that Rawalpindi is also very far. Going to India, etc. is a problem. And we know that after the India-Pakistan border into India is a Sikh area, etc. And then you've got nobody, etc. And at the time of Asar Salat. This is about Asar Salat. And as I said, I performed 4 rakat salat. And with that salat al-hajat for the need to be fulfilled, with that Allah Ta'ala gives, all that parishani after that salat was just gone completely. Completely, when you place your trust in Allah, that Allah does. It is such a relief, I can still think about the relief I felt so many years, probably 40 years ago, or more, after completing the salat. So a person understands salat like this. This is an occasion of taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is inayat khas. And then, and obviously, even the example we gave, like understand the mercy of Allah, like the Niagara Falls are far more than the Victoria Falls. But even by the Niagara Falls and the Victoria Falls, if you take a cup and you place it upside down, not a drop will go inside. So if our heart in salat, why we say, but that doesn't happen to me. I perform salat every day. I don't feel this proximity to Allah. I don't feel Allah Ta'ala's mercy dawning upon me. Because we have gone and we placed our cup upside down. My heart is towards something else. So no matter how much mercies are descending, we won't feel anything. So Allah Ta'ala make our heart turn towards Him at that particular time. And just understand this, Allah's mercy are coming in torrents upon me. It's an opportunity to basically shower in the mercies of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Faida. Aur uthana dono haato ka takbir mein dis bardar hona dono jahan se hai. This also brings the thought for concentration in salat. To lift your hands is to basically shun both the worlds. Both the worlds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. all the world, dunya and akhirah, all your worries, etc. Your shop, your house, your wife, your aspirations, your thoughts, your planning, your ideologies, everything turn away. Now I've turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the solution of all problems are. If you think of salat that way, then you'll find solution through salat. Allah ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdika, subhanallah, wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.